Yo, everyone, welcome to the newest episode of the Some Ordinary Podcast. I am here with my boy today, Muda. As always, Oompa has been kicked off the podcast because he collabed with Andrew Tate. We want nothing to do with it. And our guest today, Leon Lush. How's it going?
It's going very well. Thanks for having me. Quick idea off the cuff, a guest today, but possible future permanent host since Caleb is no longer with us. I got time. I'm punctual.
We would have Caleb around, but he's fat phobic, so we had to get rid of him.
Oh, that is true. Yeah.
He's been fat phobic. He's been collabing with Andrew Tate of all people.
SMA.
If I see another thumbnail of him with a photoshopped fat face, I swear to God. The fat kid in me can't take any more of that.
Ever since this Andrew Tate thing, I was working on this whole video for it for the longest. I'm still working on it. Like, I'm going through his whole catalog of shit.
Dude, there's a lot to go through.
Dude, everyone cancels him for his misogyny, right? Which is messed up. Mm-hmm. But it's like, dude, can we sidestep that just for 1 minute?
I thought you were saying it's messed up
to
cancel him for his misogyny.
I think the misogyny is is wrong. Don't get me wrong.
Right? I misunderstood. I was like, what? Like
when he tells you like, hey guys, it's okay to cheat on your wife. I don't agree with that, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that gets me is like
Andrew
all his other
once said, for men, it's not cheating. It's just exercise. No. True.
For me, I love the takes that he has, where it's just like he has like the most outlandish like nuggets of like hilarity, where he's like, guys, right. I don't like bodybuilding. Okay, bodybuilding is just gay.
It's for
buddies, like,
right? Yeah,
it's gay. It's men rating men. I was like, God damn, there's some insecurity there.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he'll say it. Like some of his takes are a little aggressive and like meant to be comical. But mm-hmm. like when you watch enough of his content and break it down, like he has some valuable insights about the way the world works, I think, in many ways, but it's very shrouded by what is very obviously like a kind of a bit of a God complex in the just his belief that women are just naturally inferior to men in all ways.
On the entire internet is this panel by TwitchCon, and you have these three guys sitting there, and one guy, you know, he has like, you know, he gets 15 concurrent viewers on Twitch, so he's kind of hot shit, you know what I'm saying? And he's over there, and someone asks him, like, for the Q&A, would you ever date a fan? And he says, well, I don't want to say this because it kind of sounds a little God complex-y or something, but I am better than you. I have 15 concurrent viewers watching me stream. And he like meant every word of it. It was amazing.
Wait, this was just a random Twitch streamer at TwitchCon?
It was a Twitch streamer at TwitchCon. Like it was a Q&A panel and he started talking
he's been watching Andrew Tate then probably. Yeah.
Yeah, but this happened long before Andrew Tate.
Oh, this was a long time ago. Okay. All right. So what's the deal with the video? How long, like, are you still working on it? You're going to actually make it or what?
Dude, it's like, it was like an hour long thing. It really is just like, I looked at Andrew Tate and my whole like thesis is just like, okay, this is him like creating outrage on Twitch. So he can drum up people to join his Hustlers University course. Like,
100%,
you know, he's just
100%.
A core seller. That's all it is.
Yeah. But I mean, he's just crushing his business is killing it right now. Killing it.
I just look at like all of his shit. I'm like, people get mad at his takes, right? I'm like, this is a 4chan troll. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. You can look in the dude's face and know that he doesn't actually believe the shit that he's spewing, you know? Like, that's the thing.
Most of it, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, his eyes look like dollar signs. I don't know. He's raking in, like, a crazy amount of money based on insecure people that think that they could learn life lessons, so...
My thing is like there's a life lesson you can learn. Like I remember when him and XQC were debating and it was something about self-defense in your home, right? Like
yeah, but by the way, XQC should not be debating from any of the clips I've seen. I'm like every time I watch him like what? Like you even if you're making a good point, like what are you even saying? Like it makes nothing against him. I don't know him at all. I know he's an incredibly popular Twitch streamer, and he's got a huge fan base. It will crucify me if they see that clip, but, like, not meant for debates at all. Yeah, not meant to be a debater. Like, just stick... I don't know. Debate if you want, but I almost caught myself because I just stick to streaming, but that's one of my biggest pet peeves when people tell people to stick to something. It's like, do whatever you want, dude. Do Do whatever you want. Just not my style of person. I want to watch in debate. That's all.
I feel like if he like slowed down a little bit and like thought his points more cogently, could have actually had a point. Like the thing with Andrew Tate is like I don't like my thing with him is like he'll make a good point and then like it's like driving like a muscle car or something, right? Like you know you're at that 3,000 RPM, you're pretty good. Like, you know, the car, it's kind of rev.
And you start to redline a little bit.
No, not redline. Like, hits the gas, redlines, like, switches it down to neutral, like, kills the engine.
I don't know.
Like, that's what I'm talking about.
XQC is definitely one of the debaters of all time.
No, but it's like, okay, yeah, we all don't agree with the Andrew Tate misogyny. But if, like, a guy tells you eat right, you know, work hard. Is that bad advice?
No, I think he has a lot of good takes about how the current world works. Like I just recently watched, he was on the Nelk Boys podcast. So he's going like he's on the podcast tour of his life right now, just absolutely making cake from selling Hustlers University. So like his business approach and this approach he's taken to, you know, go viral on the internet is obviously working. We all know controversy sells. So he's used to this controversy around who he is as a character to funnel that back in to grab the attention of a lot of young men who are looking for direction in their life because we live in a society or a global, you know, in a world now where there's just a lot of men that feel jaded. They feel like there's no place for them. They feel like, you know, the world is kind of escaping without them and they're being left behind. And here's Andrew Tate preaching like, well, here's a way you can do these things. And I have no idea what's going on inside this university, this Hustler University. It's possible he has, well, I know one of the things is like, affiliate links. That's like one of the money making things, which has been around for fucking 3 decades. So okay, that's great. But I think a lot of the like his business acumen is good. Like he understands how to run a business. He understands how the world works. That attention equals money. He gets all of that, and maybe he's trying to teach that. But once you when you flip to the other side of things, where it's like once he starts talking about just relationships in general and the large one I think online is the dynamic between men and women, and it's like it's easy to call him a misogynist and he'll sit there and say yes I am a misogynist and I do think that some of the things he says around the differences between men and women are correct, but there is a tone about what he says which is just like it feels to me like his general feeling about women is that without men women are basically useless. And you know what I mean? And like, he'll say, he'll defend himself and be like, oh no, but there's things that women are good at, like running a daycare, like cooking, having kids. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're not like having a kid or cooking or running a daycare as a woman, you're useless. If you're not a 10 and with Andrew Tate on a yacht somewhere. So that gets a little problematic, but it's a very, it's just interesting for me to see the response it's had. Like there's clearly a large demographic of very hungry young men that need like a savior in their life or someone to show them the way. And unfortunately, Tate is taking that role for a lot of these men.
The rough thing that, and it sounds harsh when I say this, right? Like to me, it's always incel farming is what I call this, right? Because it's like,
100%.
You know, people who jump in and it's like, they find these guys who, again, you're right. They have no direction in life. They probably had one bad relationship and it's like, fuck all women. This is not. And my thing is like, I always look at this and it sounds like a really broad generalization, but from my life experiences, I'm going to pull in Andrew Tate. I've always noticed this amongst like early 20s, right? Like people are in their early 20s and everything. And I've always said this, I'm like, fuck your relationships in your early 20s. Your 20s is when you're the most fit person in the world. Go out and make some fucking money, stabilize yourself before you ruin it with a relationship. You know,
for
what I mean?
Sure.
Like that's my thing. Because
a lot of crazy relationship stuff happened this week as far as like relationships. I actually just watched the Mama Max video. His latest video.
Oh yeah.
Did you see that?
Dude, that is such a fucked up. So what happened with Mama Max, for anybody in the audience wondering, Mama Max was a guy that hunts, for absolute friend of the show, personal friend. He like fucking, he hunts pedophiles. He hunts like bad people, you know, really disgusting, sick fucks on the internet. So he got canceled last week because apparently like all of his exes came in unison and they like fucking formed
five of them. That's crazy. Yeah, oh my God.
They formed the Avengers threat against him, right? So
they did.
Now,
there was like, all had their Infinity Stone and they fucking completed the Power Glove and made a video on YouTube.
100%. Like Thanos got them all, like fucking all that. Like it was insane. So these girls all get together, right? And they make like three girls in one video jump in and they like lambast them, right? So it went from like, he's a really shitty boyfriend to, you know, really shitty boyfriend early on, which anybody in their early 20s, like early, I'll tell you right now, like I was a a pretty shitty guy, I would say, like, when it came to relationships. Like, I was young, you know? Like, obviously, we all say things that are pretty dumb when we're, like, in our early 20s, like, 19 years of age. Not saying that that's okay, but it's, like, to think that somebody after 6-7 years doesn't change as a person, pretty disingenuous. But, so, like, he gets canceled by this one girl. The other one comes in and she throws in, like, a sexual assault allegation, doesn't really build upon it, which... you know, it's, it becomes a he said, she said, like, to put it bluntly. And then the third girl comes in and she's like the most excited person to discuss her, like, trauma, which to me was, like, super wild. Anyways, all these girls come in, they bring up all these, like, allegations. And for me, I'm like, I typically do believe, like, anybody that's throwing out an allegation, like, I have a belief, like, if you're out there to throw an allegation when the world is against you, I think that leads a little bit, you know, of credibility. It's like, oh, you're putting yourself out there, you know, the whole world's going to lambast you. Right. Especially
you'd have to, really be pushing it to just be making the whole thing up. Right. Obviously.
Exactly. Right. Like, that's what I'm going to think of. But at the same time, like, obviously wait for both sides, because clearly in a relationship, there's two sides to these scenarios. So Max makes this video 2 days ago and he fucking calls out, like, every single, like, allegation to be BS. Like, he calls out all the irregularities, all the problems, all the fault. Like, he brings up all the contradictions. This is, like, lawyer masterclass.
This dude, he had receipts from,
that's what he does.
He had receipts from, like, text messages on a flip phone from, like, 5 years ago. Like, he really was serious.
Unbiased opinion, like, so I... I've known Max for years randomly. Like, when I was first started to, like, make commentary videos in 2016, he was, like, in a small Skype community I was in. I mean, I had, like, 4,000 subs or something. So I've known him forever, back when he was doing, like, animations, kind of like pre-era of what he's really gotten into now. Always seemed like a super nice guy, but of course everyone, you know, has their demons. But, like, I recently became aware of this, like, 3 days ago. I saw the video pop up initially from the girls that made this YouTube video. And then I watched another video from Max, which was actually like a month or two old, where it looked like he was getting ahead of it, but he was doing an interview with another smaller commentary YouTuber. Okay. And I watched that, and I didn't watch the whole video from the girls, but the gist of what I got was, like, Max is mean. He was mean to me. And then one of the girls, his main girlfriend, her biggest gripe was that, he was 18 and I was, or like he, we started talking when I was 17.
Yeah. And he said he was 18. Like, that was her,
that was her case. And then like, he waited till I was 18 until we started dating. I don't know. I was like, what?
Yeah, that was her.
Yeah. It was, dude, you're like 17, almost 18. And I guess he was, said he was 18, but was really 20 at the time or something. But I'm like, you basically are both teenagers.
It's interesting because she even said in his video that she was just 18. So it's like, obviously there's a fallacy, there's a contradiction, and anytime you make an allegation and you're the one that contradictions keep coming out, that's a problem. Now, before before Max made his video, this one video from the girls got taken down for a privacy complaint, and it was made out like Max was trying to suppress his stuff.
Of course.
To me, it already came across as disingenuous from the guy's side, because they failed to account for the fact that they leaked out his driver's license, which is not something you want to be doing, right?
No, probably not a good look. Taken down by YouTube.
Absolutely. That's a privacy guideline. It's going to get taken down, because if you have any ounce of something, like, if you show somebody's driver's license, you're doxing their address, where their family could be living, anything. So even if, like, even if you find the scummiest person on the internet, you know, like the scummiest dude, like, even if it's like a legit piece of shit, you still shouldn't be, like, doxing out information. That's a clear violation of the terms of services. So you fucked up there. Now, it turns out that the guy who orchestrated the video
might be a pedophile. Possibly. Right.
Might be a pedophile. He sent out.
Where,
like,
does it end? Where does the cycle end?
Like, and Max showed
this,
like,
was this a White House interning with Obama or something? Like, there was this whole weird arc in there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, it was so weird because when I watched the Max video, like, when I got to the end, and I had it running, like, on the TV behind me while I was working on something here. And, like, it got to the point where I was at the end of the video. I look around and it's like 6 out of 5. And then he mentions the guy making the video. I'm like, oh, fuck, what happened with this guy? And then he says he's a pedophile. And I'm like, I just stop right there. I'm like,
he's a good showman. Max, he makes good content. You gotta hand it to him.
I was like, hold on, rewind that 30 seconds. Wait, what?
And then he showed a clip of his sister saying that the guy that's making that organized the video was sending like dick pics to 15-year-olds and stuff.
Me and my girlfriend were following the whole thing like crazy because me and my girlfriend were like, we know Max. So it's like, We just want to know this whole fucking thing. And me and her were blown away by the bombshell. We're like, what the fuck? How can this?
Yeah.
It's like, you got to imagine, like, if you're the guy running these things and you have a possible history.
I mean, to be honest, like, looking at it from his perspective, Max is this guy who obviously has a chip on his shoulder and hates this dude, right? And he's making videos about catching pedophiles. He's just scared then one of the videos will be about him. So he's trying to discredit Max first. That was the impression I got.
Is he the dude that helped orchestrate the video between the girls? Yes.
He got all the girls together in a group chat and he organized the video. Which is really stunning.
Imagine that. Yeah. The projection. It's almost, oh my God, that's so fucking.
This guy was tagging. So I remember the day it happened, he was immediately tagging me. He was tagging Charlie and he was tagging Nexpo the whole time.
Even I got tagged. There was this Google Drive thing. I got tagged and...
We just kept getting tagged. And then because he kept tagging, like, I had a bunch of like DMs. It's like, how do you support a fucking abuser? And I'm like,
oh my God,
bitch, it ain't even fucking confirmed yet. What do you want me to
literally? Yeah. It's like, there's someone uploaded a G drive with some screenshots. Okay, bro.
Like the most I said, I'm like, listen, if Max actually did something wrong, I'm open to hearing the other sides. Like, even if you're my friend, I'll still listen to the other side. Like that's what you do.
I gotta be honest, like, I personally fucking hate the genre of content that is just like calling out other people for being sexually explicit or bad. I don't know, like, it seems to me like, and I'm not saying, like, I like Max and I know, you know, people make videos on EDP, and like, if there is an obvious case where there's like someone who is doing some real sketchy pedophile shit, like, yes, it needs to be done. But I feel like the genre as a whole is just so kind of, it's been taken over by people that realize that it gets a lot of attention.
Yeah, I'm with
you. And so you're just creating these fucking situations that aren't actually situations. And 9 out of 10 times, it's literally just teenagers that went through a heartbreak or had a difficult relationship. And it's just a bunch of kids that are going through a bunch of emotions and they all make videos about each other trying to fucking talk shit about someone because they either broke their heart or this, that, and the other thing. And it's like that whole genre to me, I wouldn't touch that shit with a 30-foot pole. Like, I'm a grown ass man married with a kid. Like, I don't. So when I look at this, like, yes, there are cases where it's like, okay, there are people that might be, there's obviously really fucking bad people in the world that do some real nefarious shit on the internet. Should it be up to like an 18-year-old kid in their mom's basement, like, creating a video to try and take them down? Or like, is there a way we can, is the problem that we, like, authorities, there's not enough authorities, AKA, in the world to deal with the amount of perversion that's on the internet? Probably. Yeah. I mean, like, the amount of perversion in the world and that happens on the internet runs deep. I know that
in
much.
In defense
I know...
of the people that make videos on EDP, he did send shit pics.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Like, that's going to make a good video.
I'm just saying,
there's a place for it. I am saying this. I just get a little bit, I get jaded, I guess, because all of the times you see videos get made that aren't done properly. There's no research. It's just creating something out of nothing. The word pedophile being thrown around because an 18-year-old was talking to a 17-year-old in Skype. Like, it's just I think it lends itself to legitimate problems, losing credibility. So that's jaded me a little bit, but I do see why it's necessary at the same time.
For me, like, when I look at content like this, right? Like, when it comes to pedophilia related content or anything, like, okay, when you're investigating something, it's different if you're like, you know, you're covering a topic like this, right? And you're covering it respectfully versus like somebody that's literally doing it for the viewership, which is exactly what happened in EDP's case, right? Like, EDP, if any of us were to do the investigation, there's nothing stopping us from saying, hey, let's just wait a week or two before we make a properly constructed video versus let's just release this right now because it's hot off the iron. Like,
right. Cause it's in first 24 hours. Let's, like, get the views first.
It's like, what you're going to get, what, maybe 10% less views if you release it 2 weeks later, like,
right. Maybe even more if it's a better video. Like,
exactly. Right. Like, but the most important part is you worked with law enforcement. So now the guy is actually going to jail about it and possibly getting some, you know, therapy in there. If you're not going to do that, then what the fuck? Like,
Yeah, I think all, this but, stuff, yeah, but like, not in general, even if it's not like in the pedophiles or whatever, like when there was that guy doxing people like in the VTuber community and stuff, like we worked with law enforcement long before I posted the video. Like I only posted the video about it after they caught the guy, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like, just kind of documenting it. But
yeah, it's just a strange, I guess it's just strange. And, you know, I'm showing my age now where like just everything can now just be turned into everything can now be turned into monetizable content.
This is which what is I've the, been I guess saying. The core when is of Mr. what Mr. Beast releasing the video. I aborted 1,000 babies in Texas. When is he releasing video?
He's already working on it. He said he's halfway through.
Such a good idea.
Just got off the phone with him.
Dude, my thing with like the
that would bang.
You're not really even showing your age on that one. Like 100% agree with you. Like, yeah, people are literally looking for everything. I kind of attribute it to like this tea culture that we have nowadays. You know, it's like it's a weird part of the commentary circle. Like for me, if I look at commentary, like I try to find the most harmless shit that I can, right? Like really harmless stuff. Yeah. Like I think the most controversial thing I covered was that Lightwave Festival, which was harmless. Nobody got hurt. It wasn't a scam. It was just a poorly planned event. We all watched it from the sidelines. When I look at you know, things like Pink Sauce, that can be harmful. Don't get me wrong. That should
if it's eaten. If ingested.
Yeah, if you eat it, it's wrong. From the outside.
Yeah, if you eat it, it's hard.
From the outside, it's like, oh, this is like.
Get a little lead on my burger.
Yeah. From the outside, it's like, oh, shit, this is some really dumb, like, this is a really dumb business.
Yes.
But, like, all the people in the tea community, it's like they're finding a way to, like, completely destroy and, like, kick somebody when they're down. Like, it's so weird to see people like fucking run an entire channel just on like trying to be
the
more,
destruction of other people,
not just destruction, but the moral superiority. That's the thing.
Sure.
That's even wilder.
That drives me a little nuts too. And like, you have to understand, like I say this where it's like, oh, like I grapple with this idea that literally anything can be turned into content and monetized and make you money. And to boot, the more controversial and fucking the more mud you kick up, probably the more money you're going to make. So like when that is the entire incentive structure behind online content, like it's kind of created this complete shitstorm we live in now where it's like, you can't trust headlines. You can't like, how do you trust anything? So like, I'm part of the machine. Like I make content and I'm trying to cover topics that are, you know, at least interesting, but there's definitely been times in my career where I'm like, I just don't want to talk about this because I'm self-aware that I am not interested in this thing at all. Mm-hmm. The only reason I would make a video about like a pedophile or something is because I want to monetize it and make money. Like I don't care about that shit. I hope it's not bad. It's just not my thing. It's not my genre. So I've gone through situations where I'll purposely balk on certain content. It's probably mainly because I'm lazy, but I'm trying to tell myself it's because I and it has nothing to do with moral superiority. It's just for me personally, it just doesn't fit like my style of content, which is, I think mainly it's like my main thing is like, all right, I just want to find things that are interesting enough so I can kind of turn that piece of content into like a 15-minute stand-up routine because I want people to laugh, as opposed to, I feel like with Mudahar, like you're a funny guy, but you do a much better job doing the research and breaking down topics much better than I ever could because you spend a lot more time on your content for sure. So I guess it depends on the individual, honestly.
I hate that people market moral superiority. Like, it's profitable to be morally superior. It's like when people start off their streams and like, hey guys, today's stream is all about mental health. Are you taking care of yourself? Anyway, I'm going to go shit talk people in DMs now. You know?
Like, well, I find the people
the old
that
BetterHelp sponsorship.
The people that are often the most morally righteous on the internet are the ones that are the biggest fucking douchebags behind the scenes.
On that note, I only know that very surface level from a tweet I saw, but the whole Trainwrecks TV thing where he called out other big streamers for not being super involved in this, like, I don't know, what seemed like some sort of like mental health pyramid scheme. I don't know. No, I guess I shouldn't say that. Like he was trying to like create this thing where it was like he was going to be the dude to offer free online therapy sessions for people because other big creators were going to be putting money in a pot that would pay for it. And like, that coming from the dude who fucking like made a career gambling in front of kids. Like, what are we talking about here?
That's,
so
yeah.
that
I'm so glad you mentioned train wrecks, because it's like, so my thing with train wrecks, my thing with those fucking people, so my thing with train wrecks XQC is like, I'm one of those people where like, the gambling, right? So the online Twitch gambling circle. Now, I've always been one of those people, and I've maintained this thought. I'm like, I don't care if you gamble. Like, I drink and I party and I have a good time. I don't give a fuck if you gamble. Sure. However, when I go to Vegas, what's the first thing they do when I go into a casino and I want to go onto the floor?
They check your ID,
right? Right. And there is literally no way that a child can gamble on those Vegas casinos. I've went there. Yeah. They check your ID. They check it. Dude, when you wire them money, okay, the IRS immediately fucking knows. Every FinTrack agency knows the moment you wire them cash to any casino, right? Like, even if it's like $10, $1,000, $100,000, they'll know. So for me, there's so much regulation that goes into that. And it's there to protect, you know, anybody that's like any adult or anybody that's even addicted to gambling. Like, if you ever tell the state of Nevada, I'm an addict, I don't want to gamble anymore, they will boot you out of any casino. It doesn't matter how low rung it is. It doesn't matter if it's the Bellagio. Even the criminals in Vegas who run the casinos, right? Because let's be honest, it's a fucking, it's a laundering.
Mostly criminals. It's an enterprise over
those
there.
Those casinos are laundering fronts for the mob. Let's not even pretend that
for
it isn't.
Sure.
So even they have to abide by the laws. They're like, oh shit, let's not let this guy gamble. Like, fuck, you can't even go in and drink if you want it. They'll like kick you out to the street. So when I look at casinos like this online, and I know Trainwrecks is like my audience demographic isn't kids. Even if they're not kids, you're still peddling it to potential addicts and whatnot, right? You're peddling in an incredibly
addictive
drug. Also,
he doesn't know that they're not kids. Like, let's be honest. Exactly. You ever, as a kid, when you made your email address, okay, what age did you put? Did you put 10 or?
Well, that's why you can't. You can't.
There's definitely no one below 18 on Twitch. No way. That's impossible.
Yeah, absolutely. So you go on to like, you go. He like peddles the, you know, unregulated casinos. And the reason that gets me is like, so these are unregulated casinos that are operating in like, you know, Curacao or they have the license from there. You know that based on every major country's anti-money laundering studies, and I've shown these on like videos, they all consider that part of the world to be highly dangerous for like cartels operating like, you know, laundering fronts.
Absolutely.
It's not like it's unknown information. For me, it's basic common sense. If somebody's paying you millions of dollars, all right, I don't even believe they're getting all their money from the gamblers. I believe there might be extraneous variables, but that's me kind of speculating. The other thing is none of these casinos, whether it's Stake or whatever it is, and I've shown this in video, I've literally put money into these accounts, gambled, and that's it. Like, there's never been an ID check. I've lied literally about who I am to these people in their level one checks. Didn't stop.
There's no way to be sure. Like, with VPNs, whatever else, you can be whoever you want on the internet.
Yeah, 100%. And it's like, you guys are streaming to an audience that is mostly Americans anyways. So yes, you're peddling something to an audience that by nature, this would be an illicit act for them. Americans cannot gamble in these casinos. You know, most of your audience is American. I'm a Canadian like streamer content creator. 90% of my fucking audience is from the United States. If I had a gambling sponsorship, I'd be peddling. 90% of my audience could not partake in that fucking gambling venture.
Right, right. But they, but the obvious part is that these companies know this and they know that they have a huge client base in the United States.
Exactly. It's why they don't go through the extra effort to put all, like, some of them will do like a geolocation check. I remember when me and Coffee did the Rubet thing, and I remember after video two released, because it was a 6-part thing, after video two came out, they went from having no checks on their fucking website to every fucking check being implemented. Like, as soon as I came in, I was like, wow, I wonder why they're suddenly, you know, so careful. But
getting a little bit of heat in the kitchen
So it's like, you look into these and I'm like,
I mean, it's just basic, like very, very basic logic. If they're paying you $1 million a month, then they're making more than $1 million dollars off your audience. Okay.
My thing is like, I look at train wrecks and I'm like, all right, you're making the millions of dollars. Right. And it's like, that's fine. That's fine and dandy. Like, hey, but don't fucking try to peddle this mental health shit. Like, you're the drug dealer trying to peddle fucking, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous to people. Like, fuck off out of here. Either be the villain, don't try to be something in between. And that's what I'm more comfortable
and
with.
I wouldn't even care. It didn't even raise my eyebrow as much that, like, okay, it's the gambling dude like trying to take a mental health initiative. All right, that's cool. It was the fact, then coming back to the moral grandstanding point, where the day after he launched it, he goes on Twitter and calls out all the other major streamers for not giving him money to make this thing a reality. It's like, okay, dude, now we need to calm down a little bit. Like, the other streamers can do what the fuck they want, first of all.
Honestly, I mean, you got streamers shaming other streamers for platforming Tate.
There's nothing like, I hate more than people like it, like you
dude,
just
we,
said nuts like
got,
oh people
dude,
getting
we got
shamed
shit
for platforming
for having Keemstar
someone
on the podcast, okay?
Keemstar, I know you guys had Count Dankler on. I'm sure
yeah,
you're
we
now
had
like an alt-right podcast
we have the
because
whole
of that
range,
episode.
Baby.
Yeah.
Whole range.
Which,
we got Hassan.
We see it at the Joe Rogan level, obviously. He's come, you know, that whole thing with Spotify and him
true,
coming
and
under
he's
fire.
He's never been canceled, so good for
having people on your pod. It's like, dude, just let people fucking talk in platform and do what the fuck yeah. they want. Like, I could have, you know what I'm saying? Like, what about documentaries that go into jail and talk to fucking serial killers to get a look inside their brain? Should
bro,
we not
are
be
they
platforming
serial
like,
killers?
We should probably,
you know, yeah, like, we should. It's fucking interesting, dude. We need perspective and to understand other views of yeah. the world and things like.
And it's like just because you
this idea that you're gonna
just because you platform someone doesn't mean that you immediately endorse every action. Like, okay, if Alex Jones was our 100%. Force member right now, okay, and I've always maintained like Alex Jones.
I wish he was.
I always
he's an entertaining motherfucker. Don't
very
get me wrong.
Entertaining. Yeah. Like, if he joined in and started talking about the satanic robotic cabal fucking taking over the United States, he'd be like,
George Soros.
Yeah. I think we'd all laugh our ass off. But like, I don't think none of us would be like, yeah, this guy is totally like not cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, guys. Believe everything.
Yeah. To be fair, anyone in the audience that listens to that is like, yes, you know what? I agree. Power to you, baby. All yours. Yeah. Enjoy.
Like, I feel like there's this demographic of people that they get pissed off at everything, and they're the same group of people that like are trying to regulate who's allowed to be platformed, or like if you're a certain person, you're not allowed to invite some guest on because they have different views than your normal audience.
Mm-hmm.
Those,
that's funny.
Like, those, I feel, do those people just go through life thinking like, oh, if you have this person on, all of a sudden 1,000 people are going to be convinced to think exactly like they do. Like, you're basically
okay,
demeaning
so
the general population. You're like, oh, they don't have a brain in their heads to think for themselves, basically.
I don't
so you're scared to have this person
think
on.
That way. I don't think they think that way. I just think that they think they'll look better in the eyes of the public if they have that take. So I would not be surprised if someone said, hey, Tate, would you like to come on my stream? And Tate says, no, you don't have enough clout. And then he immediately turns around to say, wow, all these streamers platforming Tate. SMH, my bad, evil.
I remember like fucking, it's when we had like Hassan on, right? Like immediately you have like one side who's like, I can't believe you let the guy who thought about like America deserved 9/11 on him. Like,
oh, that quote like, from InfoWars or whatever it was.
Yeah. And I was like, I was sitting there. I'm like, you know, man, like
that's literally a 5-second quote out of his entire career. Like, even if it was a fucking weird thing to say, like, what are we not allowed to just have him on to talk for an hour? Like, it's just, it's crazy, dude.
It's like, I thought you were defending the country where you could say whatever the fuck you wanted. Like, why are you now trying to police me into the speech?
Right. Like, freedom of speech, unless it's speech I don't like. Right. That's kind of the new meme.
That is like social media in general, though. It's like, I feel like what social media has done, especially with the ability to like block and mute however you see fit, everyone's now in their own little segregated community on the internet. And you'll see 100%. This all over YouTube, right? Like on YouTube, if you have a...
The help of algorithms too, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's...
Well, the algorithm pushes you more into those sides, absolutely.
Yeah, they just creates echo chambers in every faucet of the world. Like,
I don't know if you notice this, Leon, in your like-dislike ratio. If you have like an actual take that you give, it's going to be your controversial video. It's going to be like 95%, 94% like-dislike. Versus if you go with the general like fucking take, the left or right, or like extreme take from one end, 99% likes, because it's going to be fed, you're right, to those people that are usually going to be agreeable with that specific take. That's it.
Anytime I feel like I'm taking a little bit of a hardline stance on something where normally I'm just a little more like, hey, this is funny, let's laugh about it, always a much more divisive like to dislike ratio, even if it's not even very aggressive, the stance I'm taking, like just the fact that there's a little bit of a say. Yeah, you're right. I think it feeds it differently to the way people consume it.
I remember with the EDP shit, right? Like you go online to the internet and it's like, we should like fucking hang this person, destroy them. I'm like, well, hold on a second there. All right. Like,
public flogging in the town square. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't think we should like publicly behead a guy, but like, I always was like, I'm like, hey, you didn't commit the crime, so maybe, you know, send him to therapy. Like that seems like a normal, you know,
response. Did anyone ever accept the fact that maybe he was really going for the cupcake, though?
No, I don't think anybody was expecting the cupcake.
Yeah, no.
I don't,
dude just really likes cupcakes. I mean, let's be
J.K. Rowling out there. I don't know. He did mention the cupcake.
God, even J.K. God. Rowling. I've never been a Harry Potter fan, but she always shows up in my feed, and it's because she's like against like the whole trans stuff these days. And
dude, yeah, she's very controversial in the trans rights movement.
I'm surprised that like we're back to it. Like, I'm surprised we rolled, like, time went cyclical. I thought we were past the whole, like, you know, fuck gay people, fuck trans people back in 2010, 2011. You know what I mean? Like, I thought we were done that. Like, for me, when I saw this whole argument kicking up, I'm like, I've never had an issue with like trans people or gay people in my entire life. You know, like, I've never.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, my whole philosophy is like, if you're not hurting anybody, like, I mean, if you want to live your life, live your life, right? Like, that's it is what it is.
I would I think the biggest controversial piece of what's going on now is when you take that issue, the trans issue, gender identity, and now you put it in a setting with kids. I think that's the biggest problem now is what's the right age? What's a good time? Like that, that's what I see on my feed now. It's not about trans rights, whatever. Gay rights. Like, yeah, I mean, you're an adult, you want to do what you want to do. That's fine. But it's like, okay, now you're talking about like the word is obviously indoctrination, like what you see in your public schools, or they have these, you know, these kids, you know, they do these drag shows in middle schools, talent shows. They have like a drag thing, whatever. That's kind of like, there's some nuance to that, I think, when there's young kids involved in it. But the big one, I think, that for me, I feel like, all right, this I can see is a little bit controversial, is actual, you know, gender changing, whatever the name is it for, you know, actual surgery to, sex change operations.
Yeah. Like on a 5-year-old.
A 7-year-old.
Hormones and stuff that you just.
Starting hormones at a level before you're even going through puberty. Like that's where it starts to get crazy hairy. And I don't want to obviously turn this into a podcast about fucking.
No, it's a good point.
That does seem to be, that is the main point of contention.
But that was kind of just my point to kind of build on your point of like, I don't care. I've never cared. Like you love who you want, do what you want. Yeah. If you feel more comfortable, you know, identifying as a woman or being a woman, even if you're born a biological male, like I could care less, man. That's great. If that makes you happier and feel better. Anytime you bring kids into shit like this, when it comes with life-changing decisions,
when the Apache attack helicopter became cringe,
my thing with like the whole whole like childlike stuff out there is that like, okay, so obviously for me, I'm one of those people where like I would probably not talk about sexuality in general until like until you're hitting that age of puberty when your body starts to actually go through development. Now I'm sure that there's people who disagree 100% with that, but to build on this point. Same. My thing is like, okay, so when it comes to relationships, right? Like when they showcase gay relationships, right? And it's like, oh, we can't show that to kids. I'm like, well, then you should also be removing the straight stuff from any media as well too, right? Like that. Now, when you mentioned the whole like hormones and everything too, right? Like for me, since we're not doctors, I feel like we can't really explain, you know, what it will do to the body or like have any sort of intelligent take. But from a common perspective, like for me looking into it, I don't know how comfortable I'd be. Like, we don't let kids drink. We don't let kids smoke. We don't let kids consume anything that could detriment their bodies, right? And this, I've heard it's very reversible. I heard it's completely reversible. I don't know the true science behind it, so I can't confirm that or deny it. But like, for me, it's just, you're right. We're getting to a point where we're giving like a lot of these replacement like hormones and everything. And that's where it gets sketchy. It's like, is it really, is it not? Have we done enough research?
Right. And I think we're getting to the point in like you know, this quest for equality where we're giving kids way too much benefit of the doubt. Like kids are fucking morons, dude. Kids don't know shit. I don't care. Like they're amazing. I have one, but I don't expect my 7-year old to be able to like know what the fuck it means to like, I don't know. To be at a place in his maturation as a human to be like, oh yes, I am now. I now don't want to be a boy. I want to be a girl. And I'm like, oh, well, you're 7. If you feel that way, that's great. Here's some hormones or let's go do surgery. So you're not uncomfortable in your body. Like, dude, they're fucking 7 or 8. So like at what point down the line, like, should we be like, okay, they are old enough, they've had enough experience in their life, they're mature enough to make this decision for themselves. I think that argument goes beyond gender. That's just like kids in general. Yeah. But I don't know. I like you said, hormones is one thing. Obviously, surgery, something that's not necessarily reversible, is a whole nother thing.
Yeah, the surgery stuff is where, like, nah, not like for me, it's like, unless you're 18, like a legal adult, then you can decide for yourself. Like, 18 is the number we as society have chosen, where you can, you have the ability, well, 18, 21, that range, where you have the complete autonomy.
That has been kind of the number that was chosen. I guess probably somewhat arbitrarily. I imagine there's 15-year-olds that are more mature than some 30-year-olds, honestly, just the way life is. But there has to be kind of some
hard and
fast number just to be able to make rules. You kind of need some sort of number.
It's like,
but yeah, I don't know. So that's the interest. That's the way I think about it now. I mean, that's very Jordan Peterson right now. That seems to be his thing about, like, you know, these doctors who are willing to do these surgeries. Yeah. And I'm not, you know, endorsing one thing or the other, but
the thing with Jordan Peterson is
discussion,
like,
around that.
Jordan Peterson is one from, like, somebody that had, like, a reasonably intelligent take because he had, like, you know, he has credentials in the field. Like, he is a doctor, but I feel like a lot of these takes.
He had interesting phrasing. Yeah. Like, he phrased things like, if you were in Germany, you would also be a Nazi. This is why, you know, like, he'd have, like, interesting. Now it's just kind of the generic
poison next, because, like, you've got a bit more political tone to it, which is, like, you clearly can understand there's a clear bias. It's like, as a doctor, you're supposed to be completely 100% objective as much as you can be, right? Like, if you're gonna come at something with, like, theological, like, plan, if you're gonna come at with that, that's not being a doctor. It's like trying to push some fucking narrative of your own. Like, at the end of the day, like, back away from that. For me, this is a touchy subject. It's a really, like, really, really touchy subject, and none of us are obviously qualified to discuss it. But I think our common sense, reasonable take makes sense, right? Like, if anybody's going to disagree about that, then, you know, it is what it is. Agree to disagree. Call it the end of the day. But it's like, I don't know. It's like, you see it on the internet all the time, bros. We can't fucking. I wake up every day to see this shit trending. Okay, it's either this or it's the fact that World War III is about to go down, because apparently China, Taiwan, and the U.S.
just doom scrolling, baby. Just caught living in the doom scroll. Dude, that's pretty much.
I can't believe you missed it. This morning, Shota was trending on Twitter.
What?
You know what Shota is?
No, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. How did you miss it? I was so excited.
Literally, I opened up the app. World War III trending in politics, China, Taiwan. That's all my thing is. Dude.
Perfect.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Well, Pelosi's about to touch down in Taiwan right now, isn't she?
Yo,
I think she was going. Unless I'm seeing memes that I'm taking at face value, which I should never do.
No, it's scary because, like, fucking wait, hold on. U.S. House was set to visit Taiwan. Two people briefed on the matter said as China warned that its military would never sit idly by as she visited the self-ruled island claimed by Beijing. God. Yeah, it's like the biggest pissing match, and the thing that freaks me out is, like, okay, the U.S. and China, guys, two of the biggest fucking countries in the world, and they're arguing like Ethan Klein and Keemstar are right now, like, fucking, you're not, like, that's two nuclear powered equipped nations are fucking doing this to one another. Yep. And you got Nancy Pelosi, insider trading queen, by the way, who's like, maybe I'll stir the pot.
I was just going to say, if she sent it to Taiwan, her husband's probably in her file cabinet, like, looking for documents he can make trades on now.
Yeah, right? Like, insider trading queen stirring the fucking pot going to fucking Taiwan.
Like, literally, if you just copy traded Pelosi the last, like, 4 years, you'd be up, like, 10,000%.
Oh, dude, the thing that drives me insane is, like, she is not fucking in jail. Like, and this is the thing. So obviously I had, like, I have a pretty hardline stance with when it comes to crypto, NFTs, all this shit, right? Like,
sure.
My stance has always been, like, there needs to be a little bit of regulation in anything financial, right? Because otherwise it gets completely taken over by scammers, as we've seen, right? Like,
always.
For me, the NFT stuff, and it's super funny when I talk about it, right? Like, it's because for me, I'm against the whole, like, let's trade, like, picture files. I'm not against the technology. I think the technology can be great for ownership of digital assets, like software, for instance.
I like that. Yeah, I kind of have the same stance as you. Yeah.
We haven't developed it yet, but I'm sure in time that big companies will. Crypto, like, unless you're investing in, like, some the bigger, like, hard coins, like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and shit like that, that's fine,
right?
But if you're putting money into, like, Asscoin, brother,
right? Yeah, just vaporware meme coins.
You're getting destroyed.
You're gambling. Yeah. 100%. You're just.
I mean, it's worse than gambling. Honestly,
it's a little. Worse.
Yeah, well, you can make. Yeah, it's worse than gambling because if you win, it's not the house losing, it's other people that are trying to make money as well.
So like, no, if you win, you don't win. No, there's no winning.
Statistically, I could probably make more money playing blackjack in Vegas than I could be playing fucking...
Absolutely.
Finding the next 1,000x dog coin. Yeah, you're probably right.
But
especially now. I mean, after this kind of this collapse this year, I feel like that... I mean, they had, you know, there was the bear market collapse in 2017-18
collapse.
And now, now this year it was like, oh, everyone's like, crypto has all these use cases and my bullshit fucking cum coin, like, is, well, it's giving back to its whole. And this is the thing, when I see like these NFT roadmaps where they're like, oh yeah, look at all this value that's going back to the holders of the NFT. Look at our fucking roadmap where we're like making a game in the metaverse and like all this shit. I'm like, dude, this is the biggest fucking bullshit Ponzi I've ever seen in my life.
And then you look at
dude.
The game and it's like, bro, I played World of Warcraft. This looks exactly like it. What the fuck?
Except this game has no features and looks even worse than a game that was fucking launched in 2002
like,
somehow.
Like that Bored Apes Yacht Club shit. So it's funny, I made the video about their fucking land sale, like their metaverse virtual land.
So
it's funny, I'm not gonna name YouTubers, but like there's plenty of fucking big YouTubers who are like, hey Muda, you should invest in virtual land. I'm like, I own real land, motherfucker. I'm not gonna buy virtual land. What the fuck is wrong with you? I'm gonna buy real shit.
Yo, but think of all the virtual
that's
land.
That's literally what it is.
Land,
like, it's gonna like 1,000x the property value of this virtual land. And
Here's the deal. Like, I don't necessarily disagree with the concept. I think there will be a time when valuable virtual land exists, but right now, and to invest in virtual land and be like, oh, this in 10 years is gonna be worth, like, dude, you're trying to shoot you know what I'm saying? That's a needle in a haystack.
I would buy virtual land only if like it was part of some great open metaverse, and like I would only buy it for the sole reason of like one day when I think that people are going to be using augmented reality shit more. It'd be great to like own virtual land that I could put like billboards on, like sell us for advertising space. That makes sense.
Yeah. And that's the cool. That will happen. Yeah. I think very much so. I just think we're just not there yet to the point where it makes sense to be.
We're way too early on.
If you want to buy something for pennies on the dollar and forget it exists, that's fine. That's one investment strategy. But to spend any significant money on that particular technology yet, you better be super either financially independent and just have money to burn. But I would never give that advice to someone who's like still figuring out how to pay off their mortgage. Do not invest in virtual land right now.
I feel like a lot of the people investing, they're like, they don't really have a steady income. And they're like, you know what? I might become a billionaire.
And they might, on paper.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, on paper, and then just watch it round trip it back to $0. That's fucking crash. Like
that's the real reason why Caleb's not here today. He lost $400,000 on crypto.
It's like people who have millions of dollars and like fucking crypto. Yeah. Like they're like, oh, my crypto is worth like $600,000 and I only put $60 into it. And I'm like, okay, try cashing it out. And they're like, oh, the transaction's not going through. I'm like, you want to fucking know why? Basic economics will tell you it's not there for you to cash out. That's what it looks like on paper.
Yeah, that's the meme, meme coin brigade right there. Just no liquidity, right? Yeah.
I love the one common thing anytime I cover crypto shit. It's like, well, Muda, don't you put money into the stock markets? Aren't you basically gambling? I'm like, that's not my entire portfolio.
Right.
Second of all, I ain't buying fucking some random rinky dink penny stock. If I buy stock, it's like in place of real estate, you know? Like, when I'm buying Amazon stock or any stock like that, it's not because I'm there to make money. It's because it's a long position, you know? It's like in the next 10 years, Amazon ain't going anywhere. If Amazon goes somewhere, the world's fucked.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just counting on that stock to be able to outpace inflation, which it most likely will. So it's a safe hedge against inflation and just hopefully returns year over year that are reasonable because the company actually does something.
Yeah. That's what most investments are. They're just, you know, inflation hedges. That's what I say. I'm like, do you have money in your bank account? Pretty fucking dumb. I tell people, I'm like, the only money I have in my bank account lasts me for a year, right? Like,
emergency fund, basically, whatever.
Yeah. Otherwise, everything else is just invested away. That's about it.
Invested somewhere.
Yeah.
It's such a waste.
Yeah. It's like, if you're going to have your money sit somewhere in a bank, like, you're just fucking losing money to the, and especially with inflation now, you're really fucked. So for me, it's like, just buy properties. If you can afford property, buy property, right? Or if you can afford stock, like, good blue chip.
You can always afford property. Yeah. You know, you could put in a percent. You could buy a percent of a building.
Well, properties, you know? Property is one of those things. So like, it's going to go up. It's going to go down. But there's always going to be a need for physical assets, like, especially real estate. Like, that need will never go away.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, it's like, people are like, oh, but the property market's going to die. I'm like, in Toronto? Like, for instance, like, if we're going to lose, like, values here, I'm like, what's it going to go down by 20%, 25% at the most? Like right. I can stave off a 25% loss if I know the next year.
And even so, it'll still
that's what
back
I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'll just hold on to it for a few years.
Though, it'll be way up.
I'm gonna need to sell it, right? Like done.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's super dumb when you find like the investing bro culture on the internet. Like, it's like
crypto TikTok, dude. It's the fucking
dude. The TikTok investing shit is the worst. Because
dude, you know Graham Stephan?
Of course, yeah.
He's the right. So he did. So I watched this video from a friend of mine, Eyepatch Wolf. He like did a deep dive on influencer courses, like courses to either blow up online or make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And Graham Stephan had a course that he sold for $500 for his course. It's like an 8-hour course for $500. Yeah. And so he said, and if you don't like it, you'll get a refund on the $500. Okay. That's how sure he was. So anyway, Eyepatch Wolf watches the video. He goes through the course. He didn't like it. He didn't gain anything from it. They didn't want to give him the refund because in the fine print it says, but if you watched over 40% of the course or something like that, you can't get refunded. And he says that, you know, make videos online and all that, and they're all such scams. This is the investment guy teaching you to invest your money by giving him $500 for a course on how to blow up on YouTube.
Here's my thing. If you're successful at investing, and I've said this so many times, I will never give you advice. And it sounds rough, but why would I introduce purposefully competitors into my field, you know? Why would I give you the tips to success if it means at one point you take my tips and then you're against me in the fucking
and you're gonna,
you know?
Yeah, you're gonna do better at it than I
did. Yeah. Like, imagine if, like, okay, so like I tell you if I told you how to fucking actually make money in real estate, right? Not like,
yeah,
I bought like a property and I put it on rent, so now I'm a real estate. No, fuck you. That's not an investment.
No, it's like actually flipping and
yeah. Like, if I gave you the tips, and I'll give this one like for free out there. If you're ever into flipping, right, the best thing you can ever do is spend a year renovating your own fucking house, because when you do that, you build so many connections. Like, for somebody that's like flipping, I have like fucking 10 electricians, 10 people that can do like tiny, like I have a fucking rotation of guys that I can call on my fucking like phone.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And that's where for flipping, it's important. Like, you find the guys that can get shit done like fast, efficient, and relatively cheap. Right.
Yeah.
That's all it is. But
you just need to know the right people.
Yo, yeah. Caleb messaged me.
If I train people to jump in.
He totally forgot.
If I train people to jump in to the system, right? If I train people to jump in, that would mean competitors in the real estate.
You're just diluting your own market. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Now, if I'm not good at what I do, I could sell a course and then make money that way.
Yeah, true. I mean, the idea, if you're doing the same thing, but like Graham does it, where you're selling information about how to like make videos on the internet, I'm kind of the idea that there's a kind of an infinite amount of space on the internet. But to your point, like, competition is going to get better and better and better. So even now, like, if you started YouTube in 2012 versus starting it today, it's going to be much harder to get attention today, because the production, everything, YouTube videos and channels are like full fucking, you know, productions now. So it's
I've always said that
before, you could literally just take your iPhone. So it's like, it's very different.
Yo, hey, Caleb! Hey, guys. He's here! I forgot about this.
Yo! Wow. Let's get our top roasts ready.
We got you here just in time for the send-off. Thanks, everyone, for watching the Some Ordinary Podcast.
We have to do a clap sync.
3, 2, 1, go.
Good. Yeah, I can't wait till you see the final video, because the first hour was just us talking shit about you the whole time.
I won't watch it. I'll be too nervous.
We were like, let's fucking go. Yeah. No, we were talking about like Mom Max and his recent like cancellation. We moved into like talking about finance TikTok.
We've really had quite the roadmap here on this podcast. We did.
Caleb, did your pink sauce come in?
What's that?
Did your pink sauce come in?
I'm not sure it will.
Oh. Did it get seized by the...
No, I just haven't had... I have not received a single email.
It definitely got seized by
They just took your money and that was it.
Yeah, it's definitely a scam. And also, I think I did get one email. I'll just fucking look at it. I'll look at the email that I got. I know factually that it's a auto-generated email from Shopify that has like a... the it has like the pre-made text still in it. Like she didn't change it. She didn't change it.
What a legend.
So
it's like where there's like brackets, it says like put your statement here. It just
that
says
is exactly
that.
What it says. Yeah.
No fucking way. That's oh my god. Yeah, I think Leon's right. It probably did get seized or something.
Yeah, I got seized by the Furby and Dog Administration, which I think is what she thought it was called.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Well, I remember it's she's not selling medicinal stuff.
FDA, Furby and Dog Administration. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Add a catchy header.
Add a catchy header. Yo. Let's go.
No way, dude. That is sick.
That's so good.
Oh, she
absolutely
start
calculated.
Writing your message here. Tell your audience what you want for them to know. Click button. What's the button do?
Oh my god. I can't wait, it's been removed.
That's probably just some separate thing that she just didn't add the hook
to. She could have added a link to it, but didn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still just a placeholder. That's fucking unreal. That's how you really, man, that's how you throw them off your scent, dude. You just confuse the fuck out of everyone until they just stop caring.
True. The FDA, they never track her.
It's like, I hit the contact line and they sent me a template email in response and I don't really know how to handle that.
Yeah, dude.
I'm looking up the TikTok right now just so I can see an up-to-date view on the pink sauce. Take me to the pink. No, it's still being sold, apparently.
Her latest TikTok is just a template that says catchy TikTok here.
Insert description text.
Description text.
No, she's sold out of the sauce, man. She is out of it. Like,
the irony of the whole thing is obviously this controversy is probably 100 extra sales than it would have been.
Oh, yeah.
Without it.
I mean, I bought 5 bottles.
That's what I mean. You're like her main customer right now. People are like, what is this shit? I can make a video out of this. Let's do it.
Who am I selling industrial grade level like fucking pink sauce to?
She's like literally grinding up the dragon fruit or whatever the fuck lies she's been peddling.
Yeah. It's like, it's probably just Thousand Island or something. I don't know.
Dude, I've seen the blender. Yeah. She is just like an entire bottle of olive oil inside there. Like maybe a shaving of fucking dragon fruit. I'm like
4,444 servings per bottle. Typo. Just so good.
90 calories per serving. So basically making the most calorie dense survival food
it's
one
uranium,
could ever
dude.
Dig up.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to be real. Like we talked about this being a lighter controversy, but at the same time, like I don't really fucking know anymore, boys, because
people right now. You don't even know.
Yeah, like, well, when it came out, the whole thing was botulism, and like apparently the bottles were exploding. And to tell people why that happens, because like in the bottle, there's going to be gases that form because of the shit you put in.
Boom. When you don't have preservatives or whatever, I mean, there's a reason why things that sit on a shelf have to have a cocktail of bullshit in it to keep it from doing that. If you make it in your kitchen and just fucking pack it up and leave it on the porch overnight before it ships, it's going to fucking blow up.
Well, I remember she had her FDA approved lab and it was literally a storage unit. Like you could see the fucking garage door behind her. I'm like,
love it. Love
it.
Oh
my God, this is like the fucking cartel posting an entire video. It's like, no. We make all of our shit in an FDA approved lab, a DA approved lab even. And then we illegally bring it.
It's like they got guys in the back cutting up drugs, like giving the thumbs up. Like,
yeah.
Well, insane how like she's making this and like she hasn't been shut down. I'm surprised no federal agency has jumped in and said, maybe we shouldn't be letting this happen. Like, she's still allowed to do this, so maybe it's okay.
It's
maybe
weird.
She
the
has
internet
legal
somehow
clearance.
Can get away with things. I don't know. It's like on TikTok. They're like, okay, it's TikTok. No one will actually buy it. Whatever.
Yeah, no one cares. You know?
Maybe it's just like, maybe it's like the Fed's way of saying, maybe this is just natural selection. Like, you know, you're dumb enough to
that's
buy.
What I'm saying. If the worst case scenario was a handful of TikTok power users get killed, like, whoops, whoopsie-daisy.
Maybe somebody the FDA is like us, like no. Let him try it.
It's fine.
No, but Caleb, you work alongside the FDA. You know the legal processes involved. Mm-hmm. How the fuck is it that, like, doesn't it kind of burn you? It's like, man, I have to follow the law this fucking hard, and then Jeff Bye over here doesn't have to do
so.
So
technically, you don't have to follow the law, but she can just get sued, right?
Yeah,
if you're within FDA
no
regulations, protects you from getting sued. You can get better insurance. You can get umbrellas, things like that.
Like
you're not liable for any wrongdoing.
That's like saying
with her,
you don't
if she's
have,
not if
Sorry.
Uh-huh.
It's like saying saying that you don't have to use the FDA is like saying you don't have to brush your teeth. You only have to brush the ones you want to keep. It's like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. That is exactly right. Like she, I feel like someone will eat it, get sick, and she'll get sued.
Yeah. Or, I mean, just how litigation happy we are in this country. I'm surprised nobody's tried it already. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's the time is ripe right now to fucking, all right, get a bottle of it, eat the whole thing, fucking throw up for a day and a half, and then just
you're
make
gonna
a fucking
sue a
lawsuit
TikToker
against her.
Who makes $12 a year. You're going to sue her? Really?
Dude, she's probably making a fucking killing off of this. You kidding
yeah,
me?
Yeah, she's probably made a fucking, she's probably it's made fair. Like tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she was in the six figgies by now, channels. But. How much is a bottle of this shit?
It's like $20.
Okay.
And you're talking, is it $20 a bottle or is it a case? Is she going to give you a case for it? Is it just literally a bottle?
I think it's a bottle. It's like a ketchup
it's
bottle.
$20
Caleb
a
just
bottle,
ordered.
Yeah.
Caleb ordered okay. five of them for some reason.
Okay. Yeah, just in case four wasn't enough. Yeah. It's never.
Maybe the first. Maybe, maybe the first four exploded though. You never know. He wants to make sure he gets one bottle intact.
Yeah, I just don't think he's getting them though at this point, and I don't think he thinks it either.
No, I don't. I've given up on it. Yeah. I've given
How
up
long
on
ago
it.
Did you order, out of curiosity?
Last Monday.
Last week, yeah.
A week ago. Okay, all right.
Last week you did it live.
Give her another.
Five business
days. Give her another week. Yeah, we're spoiled by Amazon Prime, so it's like anytime I order something and it takes longer than 4 days, I'm like, it got lost. It
yeah,
can't
it's
possibly
not here,
take
yeah.
longer.
Well,
yeah,
listen,
I can't believe it's taking this long.
She's probably facing supply chain issues. You know the amount of fucking oil she's using for...
There's not enough dragon fruit in the country.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just expeller pressed fucking canola oil with pink dye in it, probably.
Yeah. I think it's ranch with pink dye. I literally just think it's ranch.
Dead ass. Looks like it. And people were saying that. They're like, it tastes kind of like ranch, but not really. I don't know.
Yeah, it tastes kind of like ranch with like a side of fucking, you know, just health problems that are about to happen. Maybe the odd bacteria that's forming, I guess.
Seems dangerous. It seems risky.
I think it's pretty fucking risky. Yeah. I think she's risking some death at that point. But I think it'll take, like, the thing with me is, like, if somebody like possibly goes into the hospital because they ate shit like this off of TikTok, is it wrong to laugh at it?
No, no I think it's no. they're just as guilty in my mind as Chef Vi. Yeah. Like, it's like, use your critical brain.
No.
Like,
yes,
you've seen
no.
the controversy going on. Maybe early, not like
that's like,
I guess the sketchy thing is where like she tries to come off as pretty legit. And then like, you can't just print up. Are you allowed to just print up like an official nutrition label and add that on there? Or that needs to be
so,
like approved, right? Or
as long as it's accurate, you can. But generally, you have to initially every company will get a nutritionist to figure out the exact contents of what you're making. You can't just be like, oh, the sugar has this many calories. This has this many calories. And you add it all up. You have to have it like actually specifically
you, like,
weighed.
Take it to a lab where they will tell you how much calories, sugars, protein, fat, blah, blah, blah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But and she hasn't ever done that.
No.
444 servings is definitely a red flag.
do you think she just got like
the
nutritional label?
90 calories per tablespoon, that kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah, the 90 calories per teaspoon definitely got me. I'm like, I don't know where the metric comes into, like where any of it. Like
the secret ingredient, uranium.
Yeah, I think it looks, yeah, yes. Actually,
it's very.
It's Florida, dude. It's Florida. We have no idea what the fuck she could have, right? Like she might.
Very calorie
dense. She might have shoved a shovel in her backyard, dug it up, and been like, oh, here's some uranium-235. Let's fucking go. Let's see what it does to the human body.
It's the reason why it glows a little bit.
Yeah, maybe that's why there's different like color batches, because some people just get more uranium than the others. I'm not saying Chef Pi puts uranium. You can't sue me. I'm not making an objective statement on that, Chef Pi. You're not. You would never put uranium in your food. That would be completely wrong. I also don't think she'd be like, you know, intelligent enough to really do that. I don't think that's going to happen. Like that's not.
I don't know. No. So I think that she's 100% to blame. Yes, I think whoever actually buys from her is neurodivergent. But I do think that she's to blame though. It's like saying you can't blame someone for organizing like a crypto rug pull because which idiot's investing in ass coin?
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's kind of the same dynamic there. That's a good comparison.
If she says do not eat, then she's not to blame. But if she's like using it and like, you know, marketing it as if it's something that you can actually eat, then she is absolutely
delicious.
To blame and 100% liable for anyone who's
of course, yeah, legally, of course, yeah,
tacos,
legally,
pretending it's delicious, then yeah,
oh yeah,
which it doesn't even look appetizing to me. It's like fucking we took Pepto-Bismol and just threw
it
that.
Looks like
gross.
Food paste from Fallout 4.
Yeah. Well, isn't that what they used to serve, like, back in the day? Like, fucking pink sludge or some shit? Like, pink slime?
Dude, like, pink slime is a real thing, right? It looks like the actual version of what pink slime is. McDonald's, like, which was
chicken nuggets
or pink slime. Yeah. They actually just take that and put it on a griddle, and it makes McDonald's burgers.
Wait, for real?
Oh. No. I wish. Yeah.
My thing with McDonald's is, like, I go with the Filthy Frank argument. Like, you can tell me that shit is, like, ground up fucking, like, souls of, like, you know, puppies.
It's fucking delicious, bro. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. You just got to know what you're getting, as long as you're, I mean, people know.
Dude,
people
know. It's like when you go to a Taco Bell, right? Like, fucking some dude's like, you know, their meat isn't the best. I'm like, dude, the taco's only like 40 cents, okay? Like, what did you fucking
eat? Dude, I'm not going to Taco Bell for a Prime Delmonico, bro, right? Okay? I'm going to taste some processed, delicious goodness, and then I'm going to go shit my brains out for 3 hours, and I'm going to be happy about it.
You can watch a whole Right Opinion video in the bathroom right after.
Oh, my God. You know, he makes the fucking wildest videos and the topics that I never think are going to get traction. Like, he made some video on this, like, girl named Creepshow Art or whatever, and I think it's like three fucking hours long. But that girl was insane, though. Like, she was like, it was like when we got into it, like, Caleb, you know the people on the internet that are like morally superior, like they're like, I'm better than you, you know, like let's talk about like your failings, why I'm better, like
holier than thou,
those holier than thou
people. Favorite kind of creators,
and we said they're usually the most toxic. Well, she was the one that got caught on all the fucking like off-brand 4chan websites shitting on people. Like,
no, the funniest thing is she would make a video on her main channel talking about how some person hurt a puppy's feelings and how they should be canceled for it. And then she would go on 4chan and Lolcow and basically impersonate other people, roasting other people. It was like,
so she was doing exactly what she was anonymously doing exactly what she was publicly denouncing, essentially.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's pretty on brand for a fucking internet creator. So he released that 2 days ago, huh? That looks in 3 hours. Dude, I don't know what happened. Like, so I know Tro. He's a nice dude. I think to like VidCon 2017, I met him and saw him in 2019. Mm-hmm. I don't know when his videos went from like 40 minutes to 4.5 hours, but holy fuck.
Yeah, no, he's committed to
a 4 hour video.
Like, dude, his Nick Accato video is 4 hours and 36 minutes, bro.
Dude,
you're making Hollywood level production. What are you, fucking Scorsese over here? Dude, sell the shit to Netflix. What are you doing?
The Creepshow art
stuff. His Nick Accato video is almost as big as Nick Accato.
Like, the Creepshow art video is like wild because I saw 3 hours. I'm like, there can't be 3 hours worth of shit to talk about her. Come on now. What the fuck? What are you. Like, unless you're speaking at like 0.5 times speed, then we got to fucking talk. But Christ, yeah, he's not enough.
I mean, credit to him for the amount of actual work that goes into these videos. But holy hell.
Yeah, no, I think at some point, like, it's so close to like teetering on, like, you know, when you stare into the abyss and shit. Like, I don't know if I could ever like look at somebody for that long. Like, cover them. I'm like, hell no, nah, it's not happening on my watch.
Yeah, in the attention economy now, where it's getting shorter and shorter, it's interesting for the content format to be getting longer and longer. But the videos bang pretty good. I mean, they all do very well. Yeah. He only uploads once in a while, but they're well done. So I mean, probably get a hella watch time.
Look, I was gonna say the same thing. I don't know anything about the algorithm or anything. It's a mystery to us all. But the big videos tend to pop off. You know?
Yeah, storytelling is kind of the meta on YouTube right now, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's like you know, anything like Sunny V2 is absolutely going ballistic, like all of his videos. And granted, he makes great videos in this format. He really found a good format for the essay style. But I feel like he's kind of like the meta for that style of video right now.
I like him because he's a raunchier kind of guy, too. It's like everyone that I watch in the video essay community is like super professional, and he's just like, yeah, this guy's kind of a douchebag. Like, fuck it.
Yeah, doesn't mind throwing a little jab in once in a while.
Like, my complaint with Sunny V2 is I feel like he has a narrative that he tries to push. Like, he does. So, Right Opinion tries very hard to be objective. Mm-hmm. Sunny V2 is like, all right, I don't like Ninja, and I'm going to make you not like Ninja either.
But it kind of makes you not like him.
It's probably why they do so well, honestly. Yeah. Anything, like you said, that's not trying to be objective, and you're either one side of the fence or the other, will typically I feel like perform better in the algorithm because it will get a more emotional response, which is essentially what the algorithm is trying to do.
Did you guys see engaged. This Jeff Noodles trending shit for the last few days?
Oh my God, I haven't been paying attention.
That's like, oh my God, the longest public meltdown.
Is he spiraling out of control? That's what I've heard, and it makes me happy. I haven't watched any of it, but
spiraling, I've always, dude. Like, this is the kind of guy disliked that, like, him. So, okay, guys, if we're on the internet, right, and I just said, like, hey, so-and-so guy looks like a pedophile, is that an insinuation that I believe that guy is a pedophile? Like,
that's an insinuation, Isaiah. Yeah.
That would be like, you put some fucking 1980s glasses on Caleb, and he would look like a pedophile with that stash, you know what I mean? Like, that's not...
Let's not single me out.
No!
What about the fucking PNG?
Hey. Actually, that's a valid point. That's a valid point. We're talking to a VTuber here, so Lord knows what goes on behind that anon, facade.
I mean, see, like, if we insinuate it like that, like in a public setting, like that wouldn't be cool, right? Like, we wouldn't fucking, like, people could shit on us for it. So he went to another YouTuber, said that this guy looks like a pedophile, and shared like a bunch of photos around people, and obviously
there's a big bearded dude, right?
Yeah, the big bearded guy. Yeah. I think Papa Goat is the name, but he got shit on by him. And so it's funny because Deaf Noodles is community. When you build that like hyper fucking socially aware, like holier than thou community, they will kill you at some point. They like it's only
they turn on you every time.
It's only a matter of time before they fucking put you on the chopping block.
You know,
they cannibalize their own. Yep.
Peterson and H3 were beefing, and Jordan says, like, you do realize the people that you are collecting, they will eventually turn on you and destroy you as well. And you know, like he
was right. Yeah. He was right about that, though, 100%. Yeah, the woker you get, the more likely you are to eventually get eaten by your own ilk.
The woke side of stuff always just wilds me out too, because it's like, I understand being like socially aware and everything, but it's like it gets to a point where it's just like,
I mean, he Deaf Noodles
too, okay, holier than that.
My one interaction with him just trying I've to ever get points. Had was he called Belle Delphine racist for collabing with Tumad, and Tumad, like, and they were like all cosplaying as like Nintendo characters, and Tumad, one of his cosplays she did was the Donkey
princess
Kong,
and he was Donkey right? Kong, yeah.
And so he said Belle Delphine was racist, and I was like, that's garbage, and he got all offended.
Not many people know this, but I've known, I forget his first name right now, but Deaf Noodles since like 2015. I did a fucking collab with Deaf Noodles before he was Deaf Noodles. Mm-hmm. In 2016, when I had like 5,000 subs, we did like a little mini commentary together, and this was back when he was... So this dude, like, I've known about him forever, and he's always tried to do like the skit thing, like the type of dude similar to me where like you're trying something, you're trying a little bit of everything, trying to figure out what you're good at. I eventually landed on like comedic commentary. He's kind of been all over the place.
Dude, and I remember he got called out.
I've always seen him try different things. Like, it was skit comedy for a long time. It was commentary stuff for a long time. And he just is not very funny or entertaining. So like, he finally realized that after years of trying and failing.
He just wasn't funny.
he's just not. Like, he desperately wants to be like an SNL character funny guy, and he's just not funny at all. And he finally realized after all these years on the internet that, hey, I can literally just fucking make an account and be like a TikTok tabloid person and get attention. And that's what he did. So every single day, like, he'd get DMs from 15-year-olds that were like, Addison Rae fucking said something offensive and like, but, and he'll just like tweet and like, that was it. So he started grinding this like new age, like pandering to like the 15-year-old Gen Z woke TikTokers and like built this audience of kids that make a living sitting on the internet trying to get people in trouble for fucking nonsense, innocuous bullshit. And that was his brand. And like that, he finally got that attention that he so desperately was trying to get after all those years. And now he's kind of spiraling because, that's only going to last so long.
He was getting blasted for, like, just misinformation. And he made another video where he said, listen, you don't understand. Deaf Noodles is a character that I have created. I, Dennis, do not believe anything that Deaf Noodles says.
Oh, yeah. Go with Dennis. That was his name back in the day when we were commentating together. I probably have that video privated. I'd be curious to watch it right now. It's definitely still on YouTube. But yeah, that's a great, the whole like, oh, it's just a character. Well, I'm going to make false pedo allegations, but that's just my internet character. That's fine. Who cares?
Yeah. It's not like it's a series. It's not like you can, you know, get charged with death. Well, he's getting sued by Keem right now. And yesterday they were going at it. Apparently.
Wait, I think Keem won the lawsuit, sued, didn't he?
Is it actually going through?
I don't know if Keem gets his play button. That's my favorite meme. He just sues YouTubers and he just takes their play buttons.
I mean, it's like
little trophies.
It's like Keem is very much like
he's a villain. He's evil, but he's funny.
It's so insane with Death Noodles and like how far this meltdown has sort of come out. And it's just like, I don't know. It always ends in the worst way possible. And like, you can tell these people, like, don't be fucking stupid from the outside, but it's like, they're not going to learn. They're not going to get better. Like, Like, if they just do this, they, you know, it is what it is. Like, you fucked up, you know, call it a day, and it is what it is. But,
yeah, he synthesized himself into becoming like, oh, controversy gets clicks because nothing else worked. And that's it. To me, it's a little bit sad. Like, he really wanted to be a comedian, try all these things. And then, like, it finally he had to reduce himself to just this guy who, like, creates arbitrary controversies wearing cat ears. And, like, that's the only way people will click on his videos, not for him, but for the controversy. So if you, I don't know, it's whatever. That's basically T-channels in a nutshell, I guess. But yeah, who knows? Too bad. God bless him. Hope he's all right. Seems like he's on a bit of a downward spiral. Yeah. But the best thing about it is us on the internet, everybody knows we love a good story of somebody's complete self-implosion. There's nothing more entertaining than watching someone completely have a crisis.
An asshole, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Self-induced. Yeah.
Especially if it's like a complete asshole doing it, then it's like, yeah, hell yeah, let's go.
Yeah, we're like, you know what?
it's like anytime like fucking if Andrew Tate gets caught against somebody that can actually debate him, and it's like, oh no, he's failing. He's he's not going up against a kid anymore.
No, bro.
He's not going up against round two. Yeah. He's gonna really show him who's boss.
Oh my god!
Round two, XQC. He's gonna like teach him a lesson.
But yeah, the
XQC.
The XQC point. So like, fucking the dumbest thing about that, and it's like the whole argument. The one that I caught on was about self defense, right? Like, if somebody breaks into your house, what do you do? Do you guys, if you have a weapon in your house, right, or like anything to defend yourself, would you defend your property? I would.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely. Like,
100%.
I would defend my own fucking property.
Yeah, he like paused, right? Yeah. About like what he would do. Like, and it came like, what if it was like your wife was in danger or your kid was in danger? And he like, I would immediately grab my handgun and fucking, if I saw imminent threat to my family in my own home, I would not hesitate to protect my family and my land. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I think that's like one of the most basic human fucking rights that we have that I totally stand by. Yeah, absolutely.
Also, a thought that I forgot to bring up earlier. I thought Death Noodles was Steven Crowder for like 2 years. Just like in a worse wig or something.
They kind of look pretty similar.
Keemstar is a pedophile. Change my mind. Yeah,
they kind of look really similar though. So yeah, actually,
yeah.
Even Steven Crowder, like fucking. Every time I watch his stuff, it's like I'm surprised he's not getting like YouTube strikes up the ass. I think the only time he got a strike was when like the George Floyd stuff happened, and he was like, "Let me reenact the George Floyd killing." And I'm like,
"Well,
oh,
he
God.
Lost. He lost full monetization though, like for a while, because
there was a period where his whole shit got demonetized.
But everyone steps to his like thing, right? Like, or he has like an own subscription service,
right? You know. I think his louder with Crowder." Yeah. I think is something like that.
The Mug Club.
Yeah, and I think he, you know, he's got a big enough audience. He makes an absolute fucking killing from that. I think his YouTube revenue at this point is probably arbitrary based on most of his other revenue sources.
He's huge though. Like, I don't know. I think that
not to say
Crowder
his videos would make a lot of money, but
the same as Crowder today. Like, he
anytime you can monetize a large audience with a monthly paywall, you're so much better off than trying to rely on YouTube ads. I'll tell you that. That is one thing I have failed miserably at. And for me personally, I'm like, well, I'm not offering anything good enough to necessitate a paywall at this point. I would like to at some point if it was something more in depth or more thought out, but I'm just like, all right, on YouTube, it does get a little bit relying on YouTube's algorithm, depending on the type of content you make, and having, you know, ad revenue through YouTube be a main source of income can be pretty stressful. So especially for someone like Crowder or anyone who's a little bit controversial, you have to create a business model that has people that are really, you know, supporting you and in your community. And I mean, you see with Cold Ones, I mean, Cold Ones, Tiny Meat Gang, these guys are crushing the Patreon game. Love to see it. Yeah. Like to do it myself. Just don't know what that looks
even
like.
Even with, like, you know, I mean, getting like any form of controversy is so easy nowadays. We saw it with the PewDiePie incident, yeah, right? Like fucking, yeah, he's currently getting shit on to this day about the whole, yeah, like deaf TikTok girl, which, you know, Caleb, do you see that one? The PewDiePie TikTok scenario?
Yeah. With the fingernails.
Yeah, the fucking that stuff.
I
remember when I came across that, I was like, initially I wasn't in the PewDiePie cam because I was like, oh, I noticed a cochlear implant. I'm like, what, he's just being an asshole. And then I watched the PewDiePie video. I'm like, oh, he just stops the whole thing and, like, you know, fucks around with his dog for a little bit.
Dude,
I'm like,
he didn't notice. He straight up didn't notice. And it's, yeah, obvious that he didn't notice. Like, yeah, people that actually, yeah, got offended on behalf are people that are malicious about it. Like, do you remember PewDiePie got canceled because his Spotify playlist got leaked and he actually listened to LGBT artists and they were like, well, I don't want to be listened to by PewDiePie. I don't want to, yeah, because, yeah, he's a racist, because white supremacist.
Like, that was my favorite, when they actually got mad because PewDiePie was listening to music that, yeah, they liked, and they thought PewDiePie was a you know, an alt-right Nazi, basically.
Yeah.
I mean,
wait, he's unbelievable. Not.
Yeah, no, wait. The media's
right,
lying.
Mustache, I think he is. All right, mustache.
Is the media really lying to us?
Well, I saw a clip from a video in 2017 once. I think he was doing the Hitler salute. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's.
What do you think Caleb was doing for an hour before he showed up here?
Yeah, why do you think he was late,
dude? Yeah, I was in there jacking off. I wasn't actually doing any work.
Had a good session.
Good long,
yeah,
jack off session.
I was in the middle of a good session. The candles were lit. I mean,
dude,
I'm
so fucking tired though.
You gotta keep the
multiple baby oil bottles.
Before we tie things off, I think we'll leave it to the last person to jump in to end the episode off on. So, Caleb, we want you to give the best possible extra. Before we say that, obviously, guys, big thanks to Leon Lush for showing up. Especially, as always, you know, just anytime we have a guest, always got to thank them for being on time. You know, there have been
happy to,
well,
be
some guests. When they are on time, you can go back to the old episode, see which ones we didn't thank, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, there have been some guests who may watch this who no, I'm kidding with you. It's not hard feelings or anything, but thanks, yes, a lot for Leon to show up. Leon obviously makes some really good thought-provoking commentary. I know he passes himself off as a comedian, and he is. He's a funny guy, but when it comes to actual critical stuff, that's why I know I watch Leon, because, you know, it's having an actual, you know, brain behind it. Anybody can be funny. Having a brain is a rarity these days on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, pink salt,
feels
deaf
like
noodles
that,
is... He's not funny, am I?
Yeah, I was going to say, some people think Deaf Noodles is funny, yeah, so I guess saying you're funny on the internet is not an endorsement of any sort of talent at all. Yeah.
It's probably going to...
I have fiery hot takes. Check out my TikTok. Yeah.
Fiery hot takes.
But yeah, Caleb, you want to drive
sure
us out of
this? Make
sure
you're having an okay day. Anyway, this guy.
What do I
say asshole
again? Thanks, guys and gals, for watching this Some Ordinary podcast.
You
episode 19.
Is it episode 19?
No,
I don't know. 22.
It's like 30.
Episode 42. I don't know.
Well, no. Give us the Caleb outro. Like, what is your best? If you had to do an outro, what is the best outro you could do from your?
Oh shit! I don't know. I usually don't do outros. Anyways. I was late.
Yeah.
And he was jacking.
Whoa. That's what I was doing. Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you like what you saw, please like, comment, and subscribe. Dislike if you dislike it. Check out our boy Leon Lush, you know, at youtube.com/LeonLush. And check out Caleb for some amazing fatphobic content. Check out Nux for some amazing anime-related content. And check out me if you absolutely have nothing better to watch. If you like it, please like, comment, subscribe, dislike, dislike it. We are out! We'll be right back.